Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today for this episode. I want to talk about something that came to me within the past month, which turned into one of our sessions a couple of weeks ago for our Weekend of Hope. And I really hope and pray there's something here that will help you in some way, even if it's just something to think about further. Now, this all started when I was thinking about and meditating on the scripture that says hope is an anchor to our soul, which is Hebrews 6:19. And I realized it didn't say that hope was an anchor to our spirit, which made me wonder why. What exactly is the difference? Why is hope an anchor to our soul? Now, I want to take a quick review here of Hebrews 4:12 that says, "The word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged or two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now, I went into a lot more depth in our discussion of this a couple of weeks ago because I talked about some of the actual Greek words and the meanings of the words in this scripture. You know, word is logos, and you know that is not just the written word, it can be the spoken word. It's any way that God speaks to us. The sword. I didn't realize that in this verse, the sword isn't talking about a Roman sword. It's talking about a dagger, like a fisherman's dagger, where you have to be close and accurate with it, soul and spirit. And I talked about, you know, the original Greek words for these. Now, I'm not going to do that here and go into all that depth here because it was kind of lengthy, and I really want to get to the soul and spirit part for this podcast episode. But what I do want to share is that we do seem to understand the difference between soul and spirit. Now, we may not be able to tell which is which within us, but our soul is made up of our emotions, our mind or thoughts, and our will. And our spirit is even deeper than that. It's the part that connects with God's spirit. Our spirituality is pretty much a whole different reality. Now, looking at the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, which is translated as breath or wind. So our spirit is our inner drive for life. Now, I heard this illustration, and I thought it was pretty good. If your body was a boat, the sail would be your soul that steers your direction, and your spirit would be the wind and the force that gives you life and motion to that sail. Now, we know we can have a wounded or a broken soul. But, you know, I know the scripture talks about having a broken spirit. I mean, David talks about that in the Psalms, but I guess the reality of that has never really sunk into me that we really can have a broken spirit. Because for me, I think about, okay, God's spirit is in me. I'm spirit. I'm, you know, a victorious Christian. You know, I don't think about having a broken spirit, because I just, for me, that was just a foreign thought, even though it's right there in the Bible. But when our spirit is broken, there's nothing to steer us. When your spirit is broken, if that's the wind in our sails, there's nothing to steer you or to direct you. We can look really put together on the outside, can't we? We're good at wearing a mask. We're on autopilot. We know how to do what we need to do, and people think we're doing fine. We know that we're really falling apart on the inside. We're still pretty numb. Our sail may be up, but we know that there's nothing driving it from the inside. Now, I just want to add, this affects our physical health because it is all intertwined. The book of Jude says, "May you be in health and prosper as your soul prospers." Our spirit, our soul, and our body are all connected. So an unhealthy soul or an unhealthy spirit is also going to affect our bodies. So going back to talking about soul and spirit, the human spirit is the deepest part of who we are. So when we have a deep loss, like our child, we need to address more than just the broken soul, but also the broken spirit when we're seeking healing. And when I say healing, I'm not talking about, you know, getting to the point where you're all better and this is all behind you like it never happened. That's never going to happen. It's like we've had an amputation. A part of our very being has been cut off from us, and we have to figure out how to live with that part of us missing. So for me, when I talk about getting to a place of healing, it's getting to a place where we can function again, and even to the point where life has meaning and purpose again. I know for some of you, that seems absolutely impossible. I remember that place of darkness. I remember feeling like I couldn't imagine ever getting out of that place with Becca being gone. So I get that. I understand that. I want to go back to Hebrews 4:12 and look at the division of soul and spirit and just talk a little bit about this in some specific areas. One thing that really surprised me is when I realized, you know, when Becca died, it was all pain. But after a while, as I really leaned on God and I just grabbed a hold of him with everything I had because I knew he wasn't blindsided by Becca's death. I knew he hadn't reached his limit on who he could help or how he could help me. So I just hung on to him. And as I did that, I began having peace alongside of the pain. And that was surprising to me how I could have so much deep, deep pain and yet at the same time have peace. It didn't make sense to me. And it took a while for the Lord to explain that to me. And some of you have heard me share this, but what I believe God showed me is that pain is in our soul, but peace is in our spirit. And we know that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We read that in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in me. Peace is a fruit of my connecting to God's peace in my spirit, from His Spirit to my spirit. So my spirit can have the fruit of peace while my soul is still in a lot of pain. That's interesting, isn't it? So this is where that scripture came in, that hope is an anchor for our soul. Because I started thinking about hope and faith and soul and spirit. Because if you're like me, sometimes hope and faith can get very blurred. Now, I had that podcast episode about we use hope as wishful thinking. But when God talks about hope, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a confident expectation. Well, isn't that faith, a confident expectation, believing in what we cannot see? So is it possible that maybe hope is an anchor for our soul because faith is an anchor for our spirit? Hope reaches our soul, faith reaches our spirit. Just like pain is in our soul, peace is in our spirit. Is it possible that hope is in our soul and faith is in our spirit? That's an interesting thought. Then how about darkness? I think about the darkness that we find ourselves in and what comes along with that darkness, the confusion, the hopelessness, the despair, the anxiety, the fears, all of that darkness. Is it possible that that darkness is in our soul? Because light is in our spirit. If Jesus is light and He is in us. His Spirit is in us. That means that God's light resides in us. His Spirit of light connects with our spirit. And so is it possible that the darkness that we feel is our soul? We're really feeling the depth of what's in our soul. But the light that we're really looking for and desperately needing is in our spirit. So how does this help us? I think we realize we need to learn how to allow God to heal our spirits and then live from a healing spirit or a healed spirit more than our soul. There's a difference between recovery and transformation. He restores and gives back more than we lost. When God restores, it's not just replacing, but He goes beyond that. Now, how's that possible? Because we're not looking at replacing our child, but He's looking at restoring and redeeming our inner life, which I think is an even bigger miracle. When God changes us from the inside out, I see that as a huge miracle. We are complex beings, but we are also woven together by the hand of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. And I really think for a lot of us, the root issue is spiritual. We're not going to solve spiritual issues with natural solutions. Now, I'm not talking about if you need to be on some depression medication or something like that. Some of us do need that. But I'm talking about the difference between soul and spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit and the partnering with Him for this. And daily surrender opens the door to the healing in our spirits that we need. There's a line in a song that's out right now, and it says, "My hope may be shaken, but my faith will never break." And I think that may be why some of us don't get angry with God when our child dies. I know a lot of us do, but some of us, we don't get angry with God. And I believe the possible thing that I'm beginning to see here now is that our soul may be totally crushed, but we did not allow our spirit to be broken and crushed. Does that make sense? The book of Proverbs has several verses about having a broken spirit or a crushed inner drive, like we were talking about the wind in the sails. Let me read Proverbs 18:14 to you. It says, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" Let me read this in a couple other translations. "The human spirit can endure a long illness, but who can survive a crushed spirit? When someone is ill, his spirit will keep him strong. But if his spirit has lost hope, he cannot stay strong." Or here's another version. "A person's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive a broken spirit?" Psalm 27 verse 13 says, "I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." The Living Bible translation says, "I am expecting the Lord to rescue me again, so that once again I will see His goodness to me here in the land of the living." One more translation on this verse says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." We do not need to stay crushed and broken, living out the rest of our lives as victims. We can choose to be overcomers, which means we will have things to overcome. Romans 8:37 does say we are more than conquerors, which means we have things to conquer in this life. So here's the bottom line question. Are you living from your soul or from your spirit? Living from our soul means we are living based on how we feel and what we think about the death of our child. Living from our spirit means we are choosing to live from a higher realm, and it's actually a whole different realm of reality, because the spirit realm is actually more real than the physical realm. I know it doesn't feel like that right now, does it? God is in the business of not just healing, but redeeming. And that includes redeeming life from death, our life, from when we felt like we died when our child died. You don't have to live from a crushed spirit or a crushed soul. Ask God to heal you. You can ask God to show you if you are living from both broken soul and a broken spirit. Whether or not you can tell the difference, it's His words to you that will bring you out of that crushed place and be your anchor in life once again. Did you know you can receive a weekly word of hope? This is an email I send out each Wednesday with a special word of encouragement. If you've had your child added to the birthday segment, you should already be receiving it. So if you're not, check your spam folder. If you would like to start getting the weekly word of hope, just go to gpshope.org/hope. All we need is your name and your email address. We don't spam you. We don't give it out to anyone. And you can easily unsubscribe at any time you no longer want to receive it. Before we get to the birthday segment, I want to ask you for a huge favor. If this podcast has been a help to you, would you please give it a rating and write a short review? Even put it on pause and do it. The more ratings and reviews this podcast has, the more it is put in front of Pareavers as a suggestion for those who are looking for hope and encouragement. It brings it up in the rankings. You can be a grieving parent sharing hope by giving the podcast a rating and a review and by sharing it with others. So like I said, even if you want to pause it right now and go write that review and give it a rating, I would really appreciate that. And so would other Pareavers who are looking for exactly what you have the opportunity to have right now. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Destiny Wood was born on August 21st and is forever 40. Kevin Zick was born on August 21st and is forever 33. Frank Soseski was born on August 22nd and is forever 34. Evan Sabine was born on August 23rd and is forever 15. Bailey Arwin was born on August 23rd and is forever 22. Katie Mullen was born on August 24th and is forever 19. Jordan Hansen was born on August 24th, and he is forever 21. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of their families. It will always be a special and important day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced, just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. I would love to be able to do that for you. Just fill out the form there, including the pronunciation of your child's name, if it's sometimes mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you. Just submit that information, and then the week of your child's birthday, I will add them to the birthday segment. There is an illustration I used to do in children's ministry that I still occasionally do about body, soul, and spirit. Now, let me see if I can explain it to you in a way that you can picture it in your head and have it make sense. So imagine three people holding onto a rope and they're all facing the same direction. Now, the person in front is the body, represents the body. The person in the middle represents our soul, and the person on the end is our spirit. Before we receive Christ's gift of salvation, all three parts, all three people holding the rope, are going in the same direction, with the body or the flesh leading, and the soul and the spirit are following along. When we receive Christ in our lives and the Holy Spirit now lives inside us, our spirit is now going in the opposite direction, doing an about face and going the other way. Now, this creates a tug of war with the soul in the middle. The soul, our thoughts, our emotions, and our will is what decides if we're going to continue to follow the body and the flesh and drag the spirit along behind it, or if the soul is going to turn around as it feeds on things that cause it to strengthen the spirit and it causes the flesh to come along. So the soul, what we feed our soul, affects the strength and the healing of your spirit. Can you see that? Because your flesh, your body wants to go one way, the spirit is going the other way, and it is your soul, your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions. Is that facing the spirit or is it facing the body and the flesh? And so what you choose to feed your soul will affect the strength and the healing of your spirit. Psalm 130, verse 7 says, "Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem." Psalm 147, verse 3 is a promise that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You can have a healed spirit and a healed soul to live a life of meaning and purpose again. And this is not in spite of your child's death, but because of his or her life. But as you fight this out, I want to encourage you, as always, to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.